Hello, everyone. Welcome to the eTech Leadership Table. This is a podcast where we invite you to pull up a chair, grab a cup of coffee, and join us as we tackle some remarkable discussions on everything leadership. I'm Melissa Wood. I'm your host. I'm the Dean of Leadership Development at eTech Global Services. Hello, and welcome back to the eTech Leadership Table. Pull up a chair, grab your favorite drink, and join us at this table as we discuss everything customer service, customer experience with our friend Annette Fron today. Hey, Annette, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. This is going to be a great conversation. I'm looking forward to it.
That's what this is. It's a conversation. You know, I kind of picture, we'll talk a lot about your history and your background and all this wonderful stuff that everyone, as everyone's coming to the table, but I know you and I both kind of grew up in a family environment. And a dinner table for us was a big thing. It kind of centered our family, right?
Absolutely.
And so that's kind of when I got the theme of like, you know, what's the best route for a podcast? And if we all just kind of pull up to the table very casually, and I heard Mel Robbins say the other day, some of your favorite people you've never met. So I am excited to meet you. I'm very excited
to meet you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here. And like I said, look forward to our conversation. It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a really good one. So, well, let me tell everybody what we're going to talk about. We could talk, when you have Annette, you could talk about a plethora of things. But for today, so everybody, you know, quit being stingy. You know, we're going to share some things. But we definitely want to pull from Annette today is how to unite departments to create this customer experience, right? And so a lot of our podcasters, including myself, Annette, we have heard you on a multitude of podcasts. We've seen your articles. I'll shout out this wonderful books that you have, especially this Built to Win. I know that's your newest one. But there's so much knowledge that you have. And so I know selfishly I've got to come in and just talk about uniting departments. But I know from the theme of everything I hear you talk about, and in your books and everything, this really is a deal breaker. The uniting the departments is a deal breaker. So I'm excited. So if you're titling your notes today, and you hear me say this every time, great leaders take notes. I don't care if you're sitting in church. I don't care if you're listening to a podcast. If you're serious about it, I think you'll write it down, right? Some way or the other. So today, Annette is going to walk us through some things. And so I'm going to tell you what she's going to walk us through. Then we're going to walk through it and then we'll wrap it up. Does that work? Okay. She's going to walk us through her personal journey, how to tie a human element into this uniting the departments. She's going to give us some practical strategies. She's going to give us a little dose of technology in there. And then how we can have a customer-centric focus. She's going to teach us how we can measure impact, and she's also going to talk about the future, right? She's the Walt Disney of customer service, right, customer experience. She's going to give us some advice as leaders, all of us, and then we'll just wrap it up. So that's a lot that we're going to unpack for today, but it's all going to be under the title of how we unite departments, okay? So if that, want to be very clear, so if that's what you want to listen to today, then pull up. You're about to learn something to kind of help you in your company. And Annette, she does this for a living. She walks into companies and she definitely transforms hearts. Annette, the more I listen to you and the more I read your content, I think of one quote that really stood out to me. And I wanted to share it with you today, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
It was actually a scriptural quote, and it says, "From the heart, the mouth speaks." From the heart, the mouth speaks. And then it made me think about, I hear you really sharing this philosophy of inside versus outside. So inside out versus outside in. Yeah. And it made me think about that quote, from the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's happening from your heart is the way you speak. And that's really, and everything that you're, the legacy that you're leaving, the stamp that you're leaving in this industry, I think of that quote because you're real. Aww. This is your heart. Your heart is speaking through your mouth and your writings and everything that you do. And so I just wanted to say, I appreciate that. I appreciate the legacy that you're leaving. And it is very evident that you're speaking from your heart. And that's what's making it genuine and authentic. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate
that. You're welcome.
That.
And, you know, I teach leadership development. I've been in the industry over 30 years, just like you have. I have no idea how we look so young, but we do. We can't help it.
Because we started when we were four. That's what
I'm telling you. That's right. That's right. Okay. One of the classes that I get asked often to teach is how to build trust. And in order for people to trust you, one of the elements of trust is credibility. And so you definitely have credibility when we talk about customer experience and how to unite these departments. You own your own company. You founded your own company. You didn't just get a company handed to you. You founded your own company.
This is
true.
Don't
we all wish we could just get a company handed to us? That would be really
sweet. Absolutely.
So you're the founder of the CX Journey. You started that in 2017. So this is some of your credibility in case people are not familiar with Annette. We will link your bio so people can go and see. It's almost a book, the amount of credibility.
On its own, yes.
It's a book on its own. So there's and somewhere in her credibility, I need to say, I did some research too, and I did find out she was salutatorian in high school. So you could just kind of put that in her credibility
there
as well.
There was that.
And then she's got some credibility. She has already written some books, The Customer Understanding. And I love the heart that's on that book. That made me also think about From the Heart, the Mouse.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And then that Built to Win. And let me tell you, Built to Win, I have a spinoff of a podcast called Muddy Boots. That Built to Win, she's not here. I'm not here to promote or tell everybody to go buy the book, but I am, in case you're wondering. That's basically step by step. She has given step by step of what to do. So we all appreciate you doing that. That Built to Win. If you don't have it, get it. If you don't have two, buy three. So that's that.
And I expanded on one of those steps in my third book, Employee Understanding. So yeah, definitely. I mean, it's all
very
there.
Good.
It's all
okay.
There.
You got it all. You got it all. All covered in all things. So I've got some questions. Are you ready? Can I spitfire these questions?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Any friend of Jim Iube, I knew I could spitfire questions out. So I know you're ready for it. All right.
All right.
Okay. So let's just think about your inside. I want to see your brain. I want to peek into your brain a little bit. What's the biggest impact of department silos, because they happen, you see them, and can you share a story? What's the biggest impact of department silos, and can you share a story?
I think what ends up happening is they really just cause pain for employees. They cause pain for employees, which means they cause pain for customers, right? They lead to reduced inefficiencies. People waste resources. They kill productivity. They waste time. It reduces morale, and it really is detrimental to trying to build this customer-centric culture. So inconsistent experiences, inconsistent for both employees and for customers. The data is not being shared. Information is not being shared. That customer understanding isn't happening, which is so critical to designing and delivering a great experience across the board. And again, a very consistent one. So it really inhibits a company's ability to help the customer along the journey and personalize the experience for them. And that's a huge expectation for customers today. And I think probably the biggest story, and we've all experienced it, this is what happens because of silos, because of the lack of information sharing, is having to re-enter your information or having to re-authenticate every time you shift from one channel to the next, from the phone to the website to the app to whatever it is. You know, I'll give an example, and I'm going to call out the brand because it's a major brand, and it's a frustrating experience that I've had with them especially over the last year. It's Walmart, and I order, through their app, place the order. If something doesn't get delivered, or if something needs to be returned because it's damaged or whatever, you would think you would just go into the app and go, I'd like a refund, because it just so happened last week they didn't deliver my eggs. Well, I go through the app and I'm like, oh yay, they've made a change here. I can now ask for a refund through the app because you couldn't do that before. So I go all the way through and I tell them why the eggs were missing, and it says, do you want the refund back to your original card or do you want a credit to your account so you can use it again next time you order? So I select, you know, credit back to my original card, and then you can't do this through the app. You need to call customer support. And here's the 1-800 number. So I call customer support. And again, now here I'm telling my story all over again, order number, what's happened, to the automated system. And the automated system says, can't help you. Let me put you through to an agent. So I have to repeat myself yet again. And that's the kind of thing that really, you know, because data is not being shared, there's silos, it's not being, you know, the whole journey is not being connected. The whole experience is not being connected. It's not omnichannel, certainly.
Right.
Those are the kinds of things that happen when we've got silos and we're not sharing data and sharing information and working together across department, across channel to make sure that customers have a great experience.
Yeah, well, it causes pain. It causes pain, frustration. Yeah, that's your definite cause pain. Okay, perfect. So let's get rocking on this the second question that I have for you, Annette.
And all right.
So something must have happened, I would think. I don't know if it was like a powerful thing or just a subtle thing, but something sparked you. And when did you like say, we've got to break down these silos? Is there something that was there an aha moment or something that sparked you to break down some silos?
You know what? It actually came early on in my career. So, you know, I started at J.D. Power & Associates back in the 90s. And from there, I went and started working, running consulting organizations for the VOC vendors platforms. And at the early stage of one of the first vendors that I worked for, we were working with a client who had 8 different voice of the customer platforms across the organization. And none of them were sharing data. None of them knew about the other. They were all, you know, surveying the same customers and getting feedback from the same customers, but they weren't sharing. Nothing.
Yeah.
So to me, that was like, wait a second, hang on a second. These departments aren't even talking to each other. What is going on? And what is that? And clearly, you know, the respondent experience is a big part of the customer experience. If you want to, you know, get feedback and make improvements, you've got to start there. So to me, that was a big like, oh, whoa, hang on a second. We need to take a look at this a little bit more closely. And then that sort of just translated to other data and what other data wasn't being shared across the organization and how did that impact customers going forward. So yeah, that was back. That was probably about 20 years ago. So.
Oh, wow. I also, you and I have this, in common. I lived and worked in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio for quite a while. Yeah. For a company called Alliance Data. And I saw the same thing, you know, there's the silos and they were gathering great information. But just how to bring that together. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Now, so that's kind of the technical, you know, a little bit of the technical aspect of how those silos, your aha moment. But now let's look at the human element, right? And because when you're dealing with humans, right, you're dealing with people, you're going to get some resistance, right? You're just going to naturally get resistance. And you probably, I'm sure now that you own your own company, when you walk into these companies, you're probably expecting a little bit of resistance in some areas, right?
Oh, definitely.
And, so how do we overcome, for those of us that are taking notes and they're like, I'm facing this, like silos in departments, how do we overcome some of those resistance?
So here's an interesting way to think about silos. And it's funny because they're really more of a mentality than a physical thing. There are no walls. There's no walls there to keep us from talking to each other in different departments, you know, talking to somebody in another department or for sharing work or sharing data or sharing information. It's a leadership thing, right? Department heads, business unit heads, they choose not to share information or to collaborate. So I think it really is, number one, it's a leadership issue and then it's a culture issue, right? It requires a shift in that mentality, a shift in that thinking. So, you know, I think that there's this fear. It happens because there's this fear of losing control or losing power. That's mine. That's my data. I do this. I got that. I think there's this – lack of trust, you know, that nobody can do it like we do it. So we're going to keep that here within our department and make it happen, right? I think there's competing goals. We're not all working toward the same outcome, which we should be. And I think that if you don't have this culture of collaboration, if you don't have this customer-centric culture, which by definition is a collaborative culture, you continue to breed this individualism, and typically that's rewarded to, hey, our department did great things. Hey, this individual did great things. But most of the time it's a team effort, right? Or it should be, right? So I think the fix really is around leadership and culture. Leadership has to step out of that mindset, shift that mindset, and then deliberately design that customer-centric culture that I'm always happy to talk about, because like I said, it's a very collaborative one. You can't be customer-centric if you're not sharing data across the organization, if you're not working together for a common goal, for a common outcome, which is making sure that the customer receives value and has a great experience, right? And so I think that's really going to be where the fix lies, in leadership and in the culture that they deliberately design and then, you know, model and reinforce.
That's perfect. Leadership and the culture in that. So I love practical strategies. And if you don't mind, I know it's a playbook of yours, but do you have like something that's helped you, like a proven strategy that you've used across the pond that you could share with us? Or you'd be willing to share? I'm not trying to ask for your family secrets, but just something, a snippet you could give us.
Yeah, I'll share a couple of different things, right? One of the things that I definitely have my clients do is and it's so important to any sort of transformation, whether it's culture or whatever it is, right, is governance. And governance has two parts to it. The one part I call the structure, the committees, and the other part is what I call the operating model, which is around the data and the people and the processes and the metrics and those kinds of things. But the committees that make up the one part of your governance, they're cross-functional. And these folks have to work together to share data, share insights, take issues back to their departments, bring issues back to the committee, talk about them across. And it's been really incredible to see these teams, these committees of different folks from different departments work together and go, oh, well, isn't this happening over here? Doesn't that happen over there? And they really start to understand. So that's one of them. I think another one is aligning to, you know, shared goals and metrics, right? And everybody working toward the same outcome, which I, you know, just mentioned a minute ago too, working toward that same goal of the customer and the customer experience and making sure customers receive the value that they expect to receive, you know, from the brand. And I think I'll just share one other one, and that is job rotation and job shadowing. I've recommended that for a lot of clients where people just don't know what others in other departments do, number one. And when they do learn about it and see that, they're like, oh, you know what would help them? If I shared with them, or if they gave to me, or, oh, I didn't know they did that. That would be really helpful for me, or that'd be helpful for, you know, another department. So I think those are three things among many things that I recommend clients do, and have absolutely seen them work, where people start to just recognize that we need to be doing these things together, not separately. Yeah. So it's an eye opener, definitely.
Yeah. And that is, Annette, I'm glad you said that, because that's even more in the customer. I mean, customer experience is one. I know that's our focus, that we're thinking about the silos, but just in processes in general. I was working with one company, and one department was filling out a form to do this, and they passed it to the next department, which was causing more overtime. Like, the company was experiencing overtime because they had to follow this process, and it was just the process of not understanding what departments do. So that's shadowing and actually working in a department. You know, that's key. You know, probably back, you and I have been doing this for many years, but back in our day when we were leader, we had to sit on the phones and actually do what the agent did, you know, those types of things. Exactly. All right. Well, so we look at the human element, you've given us some practical strategies. Now let's give a little snippet about some technology, right? And technology can hurt us and it can help us, right? So when it comes to like, uniting these silos, how can technology help or hinder this cross-department collaboration? What do you think?
Yeah, and I think that's an important point to make is that it can hinder and it can help. It can facilitate, right? Depending on how it's set up and what it's set up to do, right? So technology can certainly help us to centralize that data and make sure that it's dispersed to the people that need it and allow us to get it out there in an, even in an automated fashion, real time, you know, those kinds of things. But if it's not, you know, if that technology isn't integrated, and now I'm sitting here and I'm looking at, you know, six different screens from six different programs or six different whatever, now it just creates inefficiencies and frustrations and those kinds of things. So it really needs to be well integrated, well thought out. And I think that happens too much. I think it happens that somebody over here has this great idea about, hey, we should have a tool or software or whatever that does this, but doesn't really understand A, what's already in place, how it's being used, and what the implications are of bolting on one more, you know, part to that or system to that already existing system. A lot of folks also have, you know, obviously between the disparate systems, but the legacy systems and those kinds of things that just don't have the capabilities that we need today to help us to, you know, break down or connect silos. So I think that's a big part of it. The technology, if it's used correctly, can also be a communication aid within the organization, right, to help us communicate, share internally with other departments. So things like that I think that are really important. I think it's also important to make sure that we train. I think this is another thing when it comes to technology is that we go, oh, hey, I just heard this latest and greatest tool, let's get it. And then we don't even think about what it is, why it is, how it's going to, you know, integrate with that, everything else. Do our employees even really need it? How would they use it? But then we don't train them on it. I've heard this so many times. Oh, we just got this new software, but we haven't, 6 months down the road, and we still haven't had training on it. And they're asking us why we aren't using it. So, you know, those kinds of things. So it's, yeah, technology can help us.
I see that one to me the most. We have some great technology, but we have not set proper expectations on the usage of it, and we haven't transferred a skill over. Like, you know, I mean, I understand that every boat's got the life ring, right? But if I don't know how to use it, it's going to, like, it's cute on a boat, but, like, do I know what it's there for? You know, those types of things. Exactly. So, and then from, you know, how you said, like, you know, capturing people's hearts, because that changes, you know, that changes things. And I hear you saying that quite often, but explaining, we call it the CEO method, the why is this important for the customer, for you and our organization. And we just think people just automatically know those types of things. So if you're sitting at the table with us and you run your company or you're a decision maker in your company, that's such that should be an aha moment for us sitting at the table, right? Whatever tools you have, let's look at your tools and have your teams been trained appropriately, or have you just been told that they've been trained? Go check. Exactly. Go check.
And here's another thing that happens with this, with software and these tools too, is that, you know, we have these great handy little things in our hands and our pockets, and they set this expectation for us that everything should be as easy as what's happening on my iPhone, right? And oftentimes it's not. And so the expectation at work is the same as for me in my personal life. I want consumer grade, easy to use apps, platforms, software, whatever it is. It shouldn't take a PhD to figure out how to use this stuff, right? So I think that's a big thing that I see happening a lot too.
Yeah. And to be frank, I guess we're all getting in this world. I mean, this is our world we live in now. You know, McDonald's has two windows because we don't want to wait. We want to give our money at one window. We want to pick up our food in the next window. You know what I'm saying? Like, we understand what the process is. Very simple. Yeah. And so that's the way the technology needs to work for people to use it. Ease of use. That's that effortless experience for internally as well. Okay. Yep, so now let's shift over to the customer centric focus. So how, when you integrate these teams to support more, how do you do that? How does the integration across the teams support more of a customer centric focus? What happens then?
Well, so let me define customer centric first. So when I say that we're building a customer centric culture, I define it as this. No, there's no discussions, no decisions, no designs happen without bringing in the customer voice, asking how it's going to, you know, help, what problem is it going to help or solve? What, how's it going to impact or what value is going to add? You know, those kinds of things. And so, I think that that's an important piece of it. The other part of it is that, if we're doing that, then we understand what our customers' expectations are, what their needs are, what their preferences are, those kinds of things. And some of those expectations right now is that the experience is personalized, and that can't happen if we're not, like I mentioned earlier, if we aren't sharing data and information across the organization. We can't deliver consistent experiences, seamless experiences across the organization if we aren't integrating departments and working together towards that common goal, which is the customer experience and delivering value to our customers. So we have to deliberately design the culture to be a customer-centric one. And once we are collaborating and we're sharing and we're integrating departments, then we are able to also start with building out this unified view of the customer across the organization. Again, that end-to-end customer journey, so that we know where each department fits in and how we all work together to make this thing make this thing happen, whatever it is, right? So I think that's really important. And consistency is huge, right? If we've integrated the departments, then there should be consistency from end to end. And you know, earlier you said what trust is about, you know, credibility. Mm-hmm. Consistency breeds trust too. You know, yeah. If we can deliver a consistent experience, not just across one interaction or one transaction, yeah, but from day to day to day and different interactions and transactions, that breeds trust with our customers as well. And that means, yeah, you know, they're going to come back and want to do business with us again and again.
Yeah, if you're looking at ingredients to build trust, you know, credibility is an ingredient. And let's just think about us personally. You're talking about the consistency. If you're dealing with a person, if in a relationship, if you're not sure what personality is going to show up that day, right? That inconsistency, you're not sure if it's their nice personality or their little snarky personality. That breaks down trust, and it's that reliability and that consistency. And that's the same as a human relationship, is the same thing that I hear you talking about there, Annette, is absolutely profound. So if you're trying to say, how do I make this, you know, think in my world, it's the same thing when you're dealing with your relationships. You've got to work on that area as well. Yep. I also want to point out something that you said, Annette, that I want to make sure is not missed by those that are listening. You said, what is the problem we're going to solve? And I really like, there's a lot of people that can talk about this topic. You can go Google it, the CX, the customer experience, breaking down silos. It's out there, right? But I really, Annette, I think where you have such a sweet spot is that you just keep drawing us back into what problem is this going to solve? And you just have such a way of clarifying that. Because a lot of people they miss that problem statement, and then they just start working a bunch, doing something, but they're not sure the problem they're trying to solve.
Exactly.
And it just creates chaos. So I appreciate you keeping that question at the forefront, and I want to highlight that question. So if you've got a highlighter, if you're on your laptop, this is where you circle it. What problem are we trying to solve? Okay. Well, we've got to look at metrics. Everything we do has my scale, tells me how much I weigh. My speedometer tells me how fast I'm going. There's some metrics that we have to look at. So what metrics matter most when you're evaluating the efforts to break down silos? Like, what are some metrics we need to be looking at?
Well, I think we want to look at some of the metrics that leaders look at anyways, right? Then we want to look at retention, shopping cart abandonment, like where did customers leave, right? But I think from a metrics, true customer experience, customer service type metrics, I would look at customer effort score and employee effort score. Both, not just customer effort, but employee effort too, because, you know, employee experience drives customer experience. And so we want to make sure that their jobs are easier, because when their jobs are easier, the experience for customers will be easier as well. So yeah, I think we need to look at retention. I think we need to look at, you know, where the leaky bucket is happening, where things are falling apart, because I think that tells us where the inconsistencies start to happen and where things start to break down. But in general, if we know that we're doing our best to either break down or connect those silos, we want to look at those effort scores and make sure that we're definitely still doing what's best for both employee and the customer.
Yeah, and I've probably been guilty of this before. Like, we just get so focused on customer, we just not thinking about the employee. And I really like the way you marry those two together. Again, that's your gift and kind of bringing us back to what are we trying to solve here. So I think I only have a few more questions. Are you good to stay with me for like three more questions? I know everybody's taking notes. I'm getting messages like, can she come back? Can she come back to the table? So what was your favorite when you would sit at your table? Like, did you have a meal, like a birthday meal or something that was like Annette's thing that everybody in your family knew that was your thing that you liked?
Good question. So I'm first generation American. My parents are from Germany, came over in the 50s. And there were definitely some German desserts.
Okay. What are those German desserts?
but one of my favorite meals was always, I won't go to dessert because there's way too many of them there. But my mom made this, and I don't know necessarily that this is a German thing, but this homemade tomato soup, and we would serve that with, I had to switch my brain for a second to think of the English word for it.
Yeah, I know.
Basically grapes.
Oh, really?
With cottage cheese and cinnamon sprinkled inside, or whatever you want to put inside. But mine was always cottage cheese and cinnamon sprinkled inside. So that was one of my favorites.
Do you still like cottage cheese to this day? Are you a cottage cheese?
Me too. I do, and I still sprinkle cinnamon on it too. So okay. I may not have to break, but.
Okay, I am a cottage cheese lover. I love Ritz crackers and cottage cheese. That's like my go-to meal. But I haven't done cinnamon, so I'll try that. Thanks for, look at you. How did you like the way I switched your brain? I switched your brain from
you totally
silos. Like, you didn't know, I just threw that at you. And I'm trying to show everyone how very fast your brain works. See how great you did? Okay, just a few more questions. Okay.
Thank you.
When we talk about, there are trends, obviously, right? There's trends in the world. Bell bottoms used to be a thing, then they weren't a thing, and now they're, Lainey Wilson brought them back as a thing.
Yes,
you know, they're back again. So what trends will shape cross-department collaboration, you think, in the future? So this is you being Disney, what's Annette Franz's future outlook on trends?
Yeah, a couple of different things that we just touched on it too. A greater emphasis on the employee experience, right? Just because you first of all, I'm just going to say, without employees, you have nobody to design, build, sell, service, implement, install, deliver, blah, 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 right? So you have no business without your employees, right? But when we don't focus on their experience and we don't make sure that they feel heard, valued, supported, and when that collaboration's not happening, when there's no teamwork, you know, those kinds of things, they start to feel disconnected too. And so what ends up happening is, you know, productivity goes down and then everything suffers, right? So I think that's a big one, is a big emphasis on the employee experience and making sure that everybody understands why it's so important that employees have what they need to do their jobs and to do them well. I think the second thing would probably be going back to, you know, what customer expectations are. Personalization is a huge expectation for customers today, right? But we're also dipping our toes in the water of hyper-personalization, right? And making sure that we know where they are on the journey. We are there even before they get there sometimes, you know, and making sure that they get what they need, have what they need, have the experience and, you know, solve problems for them in real time in that moment. But we still need to do, you know, that requires some precision, but it also requires empathy. So we need to make sure that we, you know, focus on that hyper-personalization, but don't forget the human.
Right.
I think that's a big one. And speaking of human, I think the third thing that I'll mention is, and I've done a little bit of research on this lately, and just trying to figure out how this will come into play going forward. And I think we've already got companies using these digital twins. And I'm trying to think of the there's another term, and it's I'm drawing a blank on it right now. But okay. But the digital twin and having those simulations of the customer and the customer journey, so that we can take them through this journey and identify where the friction is happening and really model, you know, improvements to the customer experience. So I think that's an interesting one. That's probably my most my most far out one there. I think
not honestly, like that one.
But here's the crazy part. I was talking to somebody yesterday and they asked me what conversation we'd be having 10 years from now. And I said, oh, probably the same one we're having today. You know, we're still going to be focusing on the basics because people still don't. I mean, the fact that we still have to talk about employee experience and how that drives the customer experience and all of that is mind boggling at times. But that's probably my most far out one there is that's I've been looking at that a bit more over the last few months and trying to figure out how will that play out and how will we use that in the future to really, you know, work together, you know, design and deliver a better experience for customers and for employees, just remove that friction.
It's fascinating to see experts' brains work. It's fascinating,
yeah, right?
To watch it. 'Cause you almost like look up to the right and the left, like you see it, like you kind of see it, like I see you seeing it. So I think that's fabulous. And you know, when they ask you that question, like, what do we be talking about in 10 years? You said the same thing. Well, you know, you think about basketball. We're always going to teach people how to dribble, what to carry, you know, that we're going to teach fundamentals. We're always going to teach fundamentals, right?
You're right.
But I love that you're keeping the fundamentals as a core for the future trend.
Yes.
But you're also like your innovative side like turns up to the right, and I love to see that. So that's that's fascinating. Okay. Well, this is my heart because you know I teach leadership development, have been doing it forever, and I've heard you say the platinum rule, you know, and I teach the platinum rule, like do unto others the way they want to be treated. And so you and I share that same commonality. And I've heard you also talk about, you said this is one of your favorite things, and you heard, I think the Boeing leader say this when he said, fix the culture. And he said, I want to finish his sentence. And it fix the culture, fix the outcomes.
Yeah, I think.
I think all those things tie to advice for leaders. So this is the advice for leaders segment, okay?
Okay.
So
all right.
If we're at the table, this is when the dessert comes. This is when Annette's mom's bringing our dessert. We're finishing it up. We've had half our cup of coffee is gone. What advice would you give leaders to drive collaboration within their teams?
I think a lot of it goes back to what we were talking about earlier is it's that mindset shift, right? It really is. It's a mindset shift away from me to we. It's a mindset shift from this is my team or this is my responsibility or this is what we do. Others do other things. And instead say, when we say, this is what we do, we're actually talking about the, you know, the collaborative effort of the organization, not just of my team or my department, right? So we want to really prioritize that collective success over individual achievements. I think we want to, and right along with those statements, prioritize or shift from control to empowerment. Put a little bit more into the hands of our employees and give them a bit more autonomy and give them a bit more freedom to do. I mean, you'll be amazed at the things that they will come up with. Shifting that thinking from silos to more connected networks. Listen, we don't have to break down the silos. We can connect them too. That's okay, right? Some of them are there for a reason. There's certain types of silos that have reasons. So let's connect them and get people working together. Mm. So, and I think stepping away from, you know, competition to collaboration. I think competition is that whole, it's mine. This is what my team does. This is my department. My department owns this, my responsibility, you know, those kinds of things. And we do it better than they do. There can't be a we and they or me and they or whatever in the organization. And you think that the outcomes are going to be, you know, consistent and great. Creating a crossing organization. They're not. So we've got to get everybody working together. Everybody's got to be aligned. I think that's the bottom line. And you talk about built to win, and I talk about leadership, commitment, and alignment. We need that alignment. It's huge.
Yeah. I liked it because a lot of people were like, when do you really achieve breaking down silos? And then this is what makes Annette unique. She said, look, some you don't have to break down. It's connecting. Like put the wire over, put the wire under, figure out a way just to connect the two. You don't have to tear down the wall to bring it through. And I think that is brilliant. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons we needed you here today. Okay. Well, we're folding our napkin and we're about to call it done. So what, just your final thoughts when it comes to these silos, what do you want to leave us with when in this area?
I think the biggest one to remember is that there's no physical walls. There's no walls keeping, you know, departments or business units separated. There's just this mentality, right? And so we need to move beyond that thinking that there's physical walls there. I think we need to remember that silos cause pain, not just for customers, but for employees too. So that employee customer connection is huge. And if employees can't work together to try to design and deliver a better experience for customers, both of them are going to suffer. And then I think the last thing probably is your culture. You get the one you design or you get the one you allow. So why not intentionally, deliberately design a customer-centric culture? And that is by definition a collaborative one. You've got to work together toward a common goal, and that is making sure that the customer receives value and has a great experience.
Well, very, you know, from country girl to country girl. I know you're in California now, but you can still be a country girl in California.
Absolutely.
When I say it, we can tell when people are speaking from their heart or they're just speaking from their head, right?
Yeah.
And so, I knew it when I heard you speak for the first time. And so thank you for joining us at the table. Guys, this is an example of from the heart, the mouth speaks. This is not, she's definitely got the head knowledge. We covered that, but from the heart, the mouth speaks. And we appreciate you showing us what's on the inside and sharing it with us on the outside. Thank you so much for your time today. We know you can't buy the time back. We hope Walmart gets their junk together with your eggs and your lettuce.
Yes.
And I appreciate your time today. Until next time, and join us at the eTech Leadership Table. Thanks, Annette. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for joining us, everyone.